not like it's really a state secret. Anybody with a pair of eyes and a TV. Oh, hi.
Hi there. Hello there.
I'm sure they're keeping it well hidden. I certainly don't know. I'll pretend that it's a big surprise when it happens. Hey, it's 1 minute 38 seconds after the hour of 12 in this, the month of April, in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming by and making a part of your listening day. It's the Rick Emerson Show live. Live, I say. From the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of Johnson 970, a proud part of the CBS radio family. We are broadcasting from beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. It is Wednesday. Thank you for coming by and welcome to Day 12. It is 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. All kinds of stuff coming up today, including but not limited to. And I have to remember to properly pimp this up top because we are coming off what must be it. What must be assessed as, by any accurate and objective yardstick, the single worst program in the history of everything that's ever been broadcast anywhere on any frequency band spectrum.
Oh, we've done worse.
If we've done worse, I don't want to remember what it was. I don't remember what it was, what caused it, why it happened. I'm going to block it out. Coming up today, we have a fantastic Hick Watch, by the way. It's a Hick Watch that's also kind of a Darwin Watch. You just never know, because I do believe it involves two guys, a gun, drinking, and then a guy going, look at this. And then it just ends with a massive head wound. So I will call it a Darwin watch, but sort of with a Hick chaser. So we got that coming up today. We have not one, but two fantastic mugshot photos. Now, only one of them, I think, is a mugshot. I think the other one is a police sketch, but they're both deeply disturbing.
They are.
So we'll get to those later on. Byron Beck from the Willamette Week is going to be here as part of the Rick Emerson Show's campaign of global domination of all other forms of media in the Portland area. So Byron Beck's going to be here in the 2 o'clock hour to talk about candidates gone wild. And the best part about that will be me pretending that I'm following anything having to do with local election.
And know who the candidates are.
And he's going to talk about, he's going to say, well, Rick, here's the thing with Emily Boyles. Although she's the one who's no longer running, right? Isn't she the one?
She is not running anymore.
No longer running?
Well, she's not. I don't know if she's not running. I know that she's not on Candidates Gone Wild anymore.
Oh, yeah. There was a slight...
Because I'm the co-host, Rick.
There was a slight discrepancy with Emily Boyles' campaign.
Yeah, something, did you see that video on the Willamette Week?
Something about $150,000.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about her. We'll pile on and add to the shame and degradation later on in the show. So Byron Beck will be here from the Willamette talking about Candidates Gone Wild, which our very own Sarah X. Dillon is going to be co-hosting. Next, was it Monday?
Yeah, this Monday.
All right, so we'll talk about that. We got a fantastic song that I'm going to try to squeeze in later on today. Play, and here's the reason I'm going to play it. A, because it's brilliant. B, because it's fantastic. C, because it's genius. D, because it's wonderful. And E, because you're not going to hear it played anywhere else. And I don't mean that in a whole... I don't mean that in some dumb exclusive... Here's an exclusive track you're not going to hear anywhere else. I mean, it's just one of those songs that falls in between the radio formatic cracks.
It's like having your own iPod.
It's like my iPod on shuffle that I'm forcing you to listen to. That really should be our whole positioning campaign right there. That should be our whole thrust. It's like someone else is on iPod on shuffle that we are going to make you listen to without mercy or reprieve. All of that's coming up, and we get to this geek test that we will get to today without fail. And the news pile has been added to, so we'll get to that. Plus, we've got a special birthday shout-out that we're going to get to later on in the broadcast. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. And you can hear, by the way, if you listen very carefully. Now, we had a listener party on Thursday, and then Friday we all came in here feeling like we'd been scraped off the backside of a griddle somewhere. And my voice was completely and totally hosed. It was you could smell the ashes coming out of my throat on Friday. And then this weekend, I did a whole lot of nothing. I laid around. I took it easy. I loafed. I slacked. I vegetated. That was the extent of my activity this weekend. And yet, yesterday and today, I got the bad voice coming back. I'm holding it off, though. I'm loading up on the... What is that? Is it possible I'm taking something called euthanasia?
I don't think so.
Well, whatever. Just something. Some sort of powder in a glass. Is it something that Lars sets out?
Powder of euthanasia?
Could be arsenic, for all I know.
Are you talking
about echinacea?
Echinacea. That's what it is. So that and then something else. metal shavings or something. I'm putting down like four glasses of this foul-tasting concoction every day, trying to ward off bubonic plague and so forth.
I think it's a little bit too late for euthanasia.
It's never too late for euthanasia, Tim.
Ask for it by name.
Yeah, only in Oregon. I think Oregon's the only state where you can actually do that. Hey, speaking of the election, remind me to talk to Byron Beck about this. Not like, I don't know if he's some great political thinker or whatever. He's basically just like...
He put the promotion together.
He's the queer window guy, right? He's the guy who writes the queer window column. So it may or may not be pointless to ask him. But I heard this morning that somebody's talking about inflicting a sales tax on us. Does that sound... Tim, you're a newsman. Does that sound familiar to you?
I think people have been talking about this time and time again, but it never succeeds.
No, it's because it's going to be pitchforks and torches they try to do that to us. It's like a pumping your own gas thing.
Yep.
You know, it doesn't matter. The income tax could be 80% and gas could be $9 a gallon. It's fine. As long as I have to pump it myself. And as long as I don't have to carry spare change to cover the goddamn sales tax when I buy a bag of Skittles. That's all I care about. Because I am Rick Emerson, American. We're joined today by the lovely Sarah X. Dillon. She's got kind of a, sort of a 60s Doris Day kind of a motif working on with your play. And it's true. Tim backed me up on this. It's not a bad look. It's just a look that's not, it's not typical for you. It's like a robin's egg, blue kind of a turtleneck sweater sort of a thing.
I was in a sweater mood.
I'm just saying you look like you really ought to be walking along in the French Riviera in some sort of 1965 film featuring Jack
riding
Lemmon.
A Vespa.
Yeah, totally. Riding a Vespa saying ciao. With Jack Lemmon in a supporting role as the unappreciated friend who secretly is in love with you, and then there's a montage where you go on a sailboat. That's totally what you look like today.
I could see that.
We gotta do some sort of whole gallery every day for what does Sarah look like.
Yeah, that's kind of vary. It changes with my mood, my style.
I'm telling you, I know how to pander to the people. And that is how you do it. Tim Riley's at the City Desk working on the following stories for your edification today.
Of all places to end up, Brownie will soon be doing a heck of a good job for a Portland company. A red-faced man points a gun at Beaverton School children. A man with a face like a baked potato is wanted for raping someone.
That's a doubly bad story.
Kevin Costner leaves his bride on his honeymoon to pleasure himself with a masseuse.
That's just a small hint of the radio gold that awaits you today as we broadcast in the public interest convenience.
I wonder where he said he was.
And necessity. I'm sorry, I have to go buy some heroin. I'll be back, honey. And then he simply goes off and...
Oh, not tonight.
Waxes the carrot with the masseuse.
Too much swimming.
It's disturbing. The story, the Kevin Costner story is brilliant because the story's been floating around for a while, but they wouldn't say who it was.
Right.
And of course, we're all immediately, I don't know, I was thinking Don Johnson for some reason. I don't know why, but it was.
A lot of people thought it was Michael Douglas.
Yeah, the reptilian Michael Douglas. No, it's Kevin Costner. We'll talk about that later on. What else? Still getting bra-sized emails from yesterday. I got all this. We had mentioned this thing on Monday about how we were going to force feed. Maybe that's a little too harsh. We were going to politely ask our intern, Scotty J, when he comes in on Friday. I'm on this whole quest to make the most caloric sandwich in the history of the world. But there's got to be a size limit. This is the thing. You can't be like those guys at a bar and they cheat where they put it on like a loaf of French bread. There's got to be one regulation size sandwich in terms of typical dimensions. But it's got to have like 40,000 calories in it. So I'm getting all these recipes. Later on, I'm going to try to break it out by most fattening item per food group. You know what I mean? Most fattening meat, most fattening dairy product, most fattening whatever. Then I'm going to pile it into a thing, melt it, squash it, and force him to eat it on Friday and see if he dies. And that's probably all we're going to have time to get to today. And not even half of that. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like with your comments, your clarifications, your kvetches, and so forth. And I have this Xbox update to give you. But you know, I'm not going to do it now. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to forward promote it here, tie it in later with the Geek Quiz. A nice little radio red bow there. That's what I'm going to do. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, once again firing off the AudioVault computer system, functioning flawlessly after a protracted absence. This is Tim Riley at the City Desk.
From higher down to the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat, Jim Riley reporting. You're not going to believe this. On-Screen Technology is a Portland company that makes equipment for emergency first responders, has hired former FEMA director Michael Brown to be a salesman.
Heck of a job.
Mm-hmm. They make a portable computerized signs that first responders set up to convey public safety messages or direct traffic. They say Brown's background makes him the perfect sales candidate.
All right.
They'll get 20% in full benefit.
And what do they do here?
They make these signs.
And the signs do what?
They're computerized signs that first responders set up to convey traffic safety messages and direct traffic in emergencies.
Oh, are those the things that flash on the freeway that said, like, move to the left, jackass broke down, no spare?
Right.
All right, and he'll do that?
He's going to sell those.
Okay.
Allegedly.
And from then it's a shortstop to being the guy at your door who tries to sell you copies of Vibe.
Meanwhile, the president has named Tony Snow to succeed Scott McClellan as White House press secretary.
I'm shocked.
Yep, he made the big announcement early this morning.
Tony already knows most of you, and he's agreed to take the job anyway.
You think that it would at least... I mean, I guess the whole Bush philosophy at this point is, well, screw it, you know? They've just dropped even a sheen of fairness or objectivity. Like, they're not even going to try to pretend anymore. Because Tony Snow is a conservative pundit, and he used to fill in for Rush Limbaugh, terribly, I might add. Those are big shoes to fill and all, but still, he was awful and cringe-inducing and sleep-inducing. And he's been an anchor on Fox News for like 6 years, hasn't he?
Yeah.
So there you go. So
that's what I hear.
You know, the funny thing is that Fox News, all of those, Fox News and Air America both go in the same kind of mental bin in my head, which is the try to stay as far away from this as possible unless you are in need of sleep. So, but he has been on there for the longest time. Can't even get Brit Hume. They got to go with Tony Snow.
White House press secretary, the outgoing one, Scott McClellan, reacts to his position being taken.
I think Tony Snow's going to do a great job for the president. And I saw him earlier today, and I looked up at him and told him, I used to be your height before I started this position.
That's just sad.
Don't laugh at your own joke.
That's just terrible. He already sounds a little happier, though, 1 foot out the door.
No, this is the little stumpy guy he's replacing that's always like, we shouldn't do anything wrong.
Well,
he doesn't even say that.
No, he doesn't even say that.
He doesn't even give any information.
No, it's
which
just...
one am I thinking about who's always the guy who's kind of smarmy looking?
Oh, Ari Fleischer quit a long time ago.
Ari Fleischer's been out of there forever. Rumsfeld isn't really stumpy. Is there a stumpy guy?
He was standing to the left of Bush while he was giving the speech, so I guess that was the guy he was replacing, right?
McClellan? I don't know, maybe. The job just eats you up, though. The job hollows you out and leaves you a husk of a man. I don't think there has ever been, I mean, let me think about this now. Has there ever been a White House press secretary who's really gone on to anything spectacular? The closest there is George Stephanopoulos.
Stephanopoulos? Dini Myers, kind of.
What did Dini Myers go on to do? Just get arrested for DUI.
That's about it. But she's been on a few talk shows.
That's it. Oh, and she structured some story arcs on the West Wing for a while.
Yeah.
Her and the, what's it? Who was that? Peggy Noonan. But that's it. And Stephanopoulos wrote a book, and then he does. Isn't Stephanopoulos doing some show somewhere? Isn't he on one of the Sunday morning talk shows?
Yeah, one of the Sunday morning talk shows.
And that's only because chicks think he's hot. That's all. See that right there? See, that's
very good looking.
That's what I'm saying right there. And, you know, he's stumpy, though. That guy's like 4 feet high.
Well, now you met with the name Stephanopoulos.
Yeah, well,
nice sounding name.
And he's got that whole, one of the most powerful men in the country, but was a good Catholic boy. Greek Orthodox or whatever, you know, he's totally like very traditional, very whatever, called his mom, did the whole thing, yet had the ear of the president, and he had a full head of hair. So there you go. All right, well, so Scott McClellan's gone, and the new guy, Tony Snow?
Tony Snow.
Right, okay. And then the new chief of staff, Jack Bolton?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. So just to update your mental Rolodex, so as we can, not that the sound bites are going to sound any different, because it's going to be the same crap. It's going to be Tony Snow refusing to call in Helen Thomas, and then if you close your eyes, you'll just be able to hear the sound of the plate spinning as he deflects each and every question.
Mm-hmm.
All right, there you go.
Meanwhile, Condoleezza Rice has been told to look after Donald Rumsfeld because they're going on tour.
Sorry,
they're going on tour together. And Rumsfeld says, wow, look at all the good things going on here in Baghdad.
We now are moving through another important milestone, the formation of a new government, a sovereign government, the first government that doesn't have a qualifier in finally.
He doesn't even get a microphone anymore.
What if they got him, like, scrubbing things in the kitchen? Is that what... That's like them, but it's setting on Cool Edit, that auditorium flange.
We now are moving through another...
Where is he? Is he in
He's
Baghdad?
In Baghdad, yeah.
Well, all right.
There aren't that many microphones left.
They're all right. So he and Condi Rice are doing something?
Yeah, they're touring Bad Dad.
What is it? What is it they're hoping to see exactly? What is it?
All the vast improvements, the schools, the factories,
the flowers the being thrown by the locals.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. They're hoping to see the daisies placed inside.
Women crying as the tanks go by.
Okay.
Well, the man known to the nation for decades only as Deep Throat sat down with Larry Kidding in an exclusive interview.
That.
Well, I have it all here for you.
Mark Feld, he was on last night,
yeah,
wasn't he?
Ah,
I completely forgot. Boy, that guy's brain is gone. I didn't even see it, but I know that it's
you know, he's 92 years old.
And he has Alzheimer's, by the way.
He put a few urban legends to rest while attempting to shed some light on the whole affair. He was quick to dismiss any notion of having intended to topple then-President Nixon.
All right, now, before we play this, I'm going to say, I don't have any... Did anybody here read the Woodward's book? No, just me. The Woodward wrote this book, Secret Man. Because you remember this whole thing about Mark Feld. It came out.
Yeah.
We were off the air, weren't we?
Yes, we were.
Oh,
darn it.
Sons of bitches. That's one of those things that I did. I was annoyed. That and Star Wars. Just that. That and Revenge of the Sith. Because, you know, the Deep Throat thing is, I mean, you know, this is a hugely consuming interest for everybody with even a passing interest in politics.
Yeah.
And because everybody thought, I totally had my money on it being Pat Buchanan. The whole time. The whole time I thought it was Pat Buchanan. And then Mark Feld comes out. So then Woodward, who got shafted out of his retirement policy, and you know he's had to be pissed about that because you know that Woodward and Bernstein, who clearly don't like each other anyway, but who are joined at the hip because they both ended up covering the Watergate story, you know that they were like holding this as like their one chip in the back pocket for someday when like one of them needed a brain operation and they had to get some quick cash. You know what I mean? And there was like nothing in the bank, couldn't borrow against the house anymore. I'll tell you who Deep Throat is. You know, and they put in a... But then Felt beat him to the punch by revealing it, largely, I think, because he's 92 and has Alzheimer's, and his family just put out a press release that I'm asking him. And Woodward had to rush and cash in with this book called Secret Man. Anyway, upshot of this is, and then we'll play the cut, the Mark Feld, who was Deep Throat, the book ends, because Woodward had to pad it out, because the book's like a cozy 40 pages long. Woodward had to pad it out by putting the transcript of this interview with Mark Feld, who... I would encourage you to pick up a copy of the book and read it, only so you can see that Mark Feld has no idea who he's talking to. It's kind of sad. He has no idea who he's talking to, no idea he's being interviewed, no idea what's being discussed. He's completely clueless as to what Deep Throat is, Richard Nixon, Watergate, doesn't really know that he's sitting in an Applebee's with Bob Woodward. Has you read the interview, and it's just like he is completely oblivious to any of the facts of the interview. So maybe they've medicated him. Maybe he sounds decent here. Let's find out.
That's all speculation on somebody's part. I didn't have that feeling at all.
Now, all that wait for that.
All right. Well, but the whole interview is a bunch of... The interview with Woodward is a bunch of those things.
That was a good setup.
That was a big overture, little show.
It was almost like TV.
But the whole interview he does with Woodward is Woodward saying... You know, so what is it exactly that made you come forward to, you know, to give all these details about the inner workings of the committee to reelect the president? And then Felt would say things like, well, there was this and that. And it was clearly like he was just punting because he had no idea what he, like he was having difficulty understanding what Woodward was asking
him. That was a pretty big...
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, he thought Nixon had done a good job while in office.
That was a pretty big job to have nothing go wrong. No, I think there were minor problems and some major problems. But they weren't Nixon's fault.
All right, so there you go. Yeah, no idea what he's talking about. All right, no idea where he is. Thinks he's sitting at home watching a game show. There you go, Mark.
He's just
Feld.
Waiting for Anderson Cooper to come out.
Okay.
Well, the federal grand jury investigating the leak of a CIA operative's identity will hear from President Bush's top advisor today. Oh, I guess he's still the top advisor. Karl Rove expected to make his fifth appearance before the grand jury. A source close to Rove said he was asked to testify again by Special Prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald. The source said Rove would appear voluntarily and had not been subpoenaed. Rove made his last visit to the grand jury in October. The source adds that Rove's role in the criminal investigation has not changed, and he has not been notified that he is a target.
Okay. Just sort of understood. This coincides with his, what is it, the paring back of his duties? His non-duties, whatever they are?
Yeah.
All right.
Time for a double Britney watch.
Here's your double Britney watch for Wednesday.
We have two Britney stories today. First, She refused to support her husband, Kevin Federline, at a listening party for his new album in Vegas after he invited her rival, Paris Hilton, to the gig.
Exactly in what sense is Paris Hilton a rival of Britney Spears? What is it they're vying for, exactly?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Are they just...
Blonde slut of the year.
I don't understand. What are they? Do they get like...
Yeah, I've never heard of anything between the two of them.
That sounds fabricated to me. Mm-hmm. That sounds like some made up.
Well, rather than personally attending, Paris sent her mother and father instead. Federline was introduced to the crowd at Pure by Kathy Hilton, who then went on to assault the ears of the audience with two tracks, America's Most Hated and Rockstar. Expect her debut album soon.
Wait, so those aren't his crack? They're who?
Federline was introduced to the crowd at Pure by Kathy Hilton.
I don't even know who that is.
Paris Hilton's slutty mom. She's the one who's wearing, like, the see-through shirt, and she's 50.
I have nothing. Yeah. I mean, strangely enough, my brain can conjure up an image of her, even though I don't know who she is. But... I don't understand. Who has an album coming out?
Kevin Federline. Mm-hmm. She was on stage introducing.
Okay, so she wasn't playing. Okay,
no,
so
she wasn't.
Okay,
rapping.
Well, I like it so out of the question.
I said the wrong pronoun. I said she went on.
Okay,
and
yeah,
he went on
say,
to assault
it, every member of the
tracks,
freaking Simpson family's got a record out now.
No,
every member of the Spears.
Did not make an album yet.
Yeah, every member of the Spears family has a record.
I suppose that's not so outrageous.
Paris Hilton herself. Well, that's the funny part is, and the frightening part, and the sad part is that I bought it. I completely was like, Paris Hilton's mom putting out a record.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
I mean,
Paris Hilton's mom's newest album.
Why? Like, again, like, it's so out of the question. You know it's only a matter of time before Donald Trump puts out an album. I mean, it's a given. And it's going to be a lot of bad...
And techno beat with You're Fired over and
over
again.
That's totally what it's going to be.
Yeah.
I was reading an interview yesterday in GQ, something. What was it? It was something. It was that thing with Vin Diesel on the cover. Details. And there's this interview with Donald Trump Jr., and he's doing the obligatory. My life is so hard. I don't get a lot of benefits from being Donald Trump. Just makes you want to kick him in the groin. But they were talking about, you know, blah blah blah. And can we please, for the love of sweet holy zombie Jesus, can we no longer call Donald Trump the Donald?
Who started that anyway?
That's someone
ridiculous.
Who should be killed. And I don't mean that figuratively.
It's
I mean,
bad enough to be named Donald. Then to focus on it even more.
Someone who should be taken out back and beaten to death with a piece of plywood. But he was talking about, I'm just an ordinary working Joe, or whatever Donald Trump's billionaire kid is having to say. Point. Oh, you know, it's only a matter of time, though, so there's going to be some, and this is going to be an update on the 80s thing when everybody put out a rap song.
Yes.
There's going to be some techno, some song, and over the top of it, it's going to be, you're fired, blah, 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 Donald, yada, 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 apprentice. And that's totally going to be what it is, and then everybody will have to pretend to like it for like a day.
Part two. Britney Spears is pregnant with her second child.
Bada-bing!
That according to the Us Weekly website. According to that site, Spears was spotted at the swimming pool at Caesars in Vegas. We told you this a few days ago.
Man, we had the inside scoop from Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Brian, who's probably doesn't want his last name used. Brian emailed us and was like, my boy, my peep, whatever, was working outside the door at the Britney and Kevin's room. Britney had a baby bump.
While she was visibly pregnant, sources, whichever those are, then confirmed the pregnancy of the magazine. It is not the first time the speculation has surfaced about Spears having a second child on the way. MSNBC reported that the pop star was rushed to the hospital with early signs of pregnancy in February. And Spears rep, of course, who always lies, these people are paid to lie, make a lot more money than we do, lied again. But her camp has been silent since the Us magazine report surfaced on Tuesday night.
Well, plus Britney's going to be in trouble because she's been photographed drinking. Like, one of the reports I read said that she's known that she's been pregnant since February.
Yep.
And she's been openly drinking.
That child should be taken away at birth.
Oh. That'll be taken away now. Just reach inside and scoop it out and give it to somebody else. Just stick it in some other woman. All right. Do we have to break here?
We do.
All right. Don't go anywhere. It's a Rick Emerson Show. Coming up, Lisa Goddard from CNN. She doesn't know she's going to talk about Tony Snow, but boy is she. So we'll talk to her about Tony Snow. Later on, Ed McCarthy will give he was at the screening of that United 93 movie last night. We'll find out what the deal is because apparently it opens in theaters everywhere this Friday. Later on, Byron Beck about Candidates Gone Wild, etc. Am I just waiting?
I'm waiting to play the close.
Oh, I didn't even know. Hi, we'll be back after this. That's the Britney watch. I had no idea. Back after this. We'll be right back. So your friends will totally be helping.
Oh, yeah.
All right. And so when I see that change, I'll pretend that it was that I didn't know it was coming. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. Kristen from Accounting Email says, doesn't Paris Hilton also have an album coming out? Yes, she does. That was going to be my thing, is that how can her mom have one? Clearly she doesn't, but Paris, I mean, hadn't Paris's album been in the works? It was in the works before we went off the air.
Yeah, it's been in the works for like a year and a half, and everyone keeps talking about how great it is, but they pushed it back a year and a half.
I mean, I don't understand what's taking so long. I mean, the obvious answer is that she has no talent, but so what? When does that stop them from making an album for anybody? She doesn't even really like to be there. All she has to kind of do is show up and go like, you know, you know, or whatever, or just say, you know, give some sort of girlish giggle that they can then loop over some Neptune's beat for like 48 minutes. That's kind of it. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, CNN radio correspondent. Ed McCarthy doesn't really have an accent, does he? Because Gary Baum's got the, you know, the Gary Baum, Gary Baumgarten, and then Roop's got the, you know, hello, sir, you know, and it's just always his whole thing.
He always sounds so jolly.
Greetings, my liege. But McCarthy's just kind of got
that flat Midwestern non-accent.
McCarthy's just sort of there. I mean, he's bland. He's just sort of, he just sounds like he's very laid back.
You know we're talking to Baumgarten, though, right?
I thought it was, damn me. Okay, but it is Baumgarten. Mm-hmm. Then
you like that East Coast accent.
I should just be taken out and killed. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. A woman who is neither Ed McCarthy nor Gary Baumgarten nor Jim Roop. CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard joining us now. How are you, Lisa?
Hey, I'm good. How are you guys?
You, on the other hand, your accent is that of pure, refined elegance and class and professionalism.
Oh, well, what can I say?
Man, I don't know. Let me ask you this. I got two things. First off, because it's like a federal law or something. There's marshals standing outside the studio, and if I don't ask you the following question, I think I get taken away and I get tossed into talk show prison. So, let me just ask you this. If I asked you if we were going to still be having to talk about immigration like 60 days from now, would I regret it? I mean, am I still going to be here having to like wade through immigration stories in 2 months? Or is,
jinxing us?
Well, they have moved on to shark attacks or something by then.
There's a really strong chance we will still be talking about immigration 60 days from now. No. Very strong chance.
Is that a big problem? And I don't mean to be flippant about this. Is that a big problem in places like, I don't know, places like Washington, D.C. and places like Maryland?
You know, believe it or not, it really is. And I think that's why this issue is coming to a head, or potentially could come to a head this year. Because you have states like South Carolina, which are seeing huge increases in immigration, also Maryland, Washington, where there are very, very large, especially Spanish-speaking populations. Also, some states have different populations. There's like a Korean section as well in Northern Virginia that's got a very large population. But especially the Hispanic immigrants really are affecting almost every state in the country. And you do see a large population right here in the D.C. area.
I mean, I'm not, clearly it does happen, and you know more about this than I, but did you ever wonder how it is that happened? How is it that fleeing Mexico for a better life, or they're emigrating from, Jamaica or something, or, you know, or some part of Europe, and then they somehow choose, like, let us move to Decatur, you know, let us move to Sioux Falls, where life is glorious. I don't understand how that happens.
I think there's a couple things. I think that there is such competition for jobs for that immigrant population, especially illegal immigrants, when you get closer to the border, that there is a lot of incentive to move north, go west, go east. Also, a lot of folks follow the agriculture jobs. That lands you in Iowa, Idaho, all kinds of places around the country. But I think it really is just the search for work and trying to get less competition that brings people up here. But I'll tell you, even in my hometown, Annandale, Virginia, just a few miles from here, you see migrant workers lined along the road, you know, where there's McDonald's and gas stations, and there for a mile, there's a mile-long stretch where you see people lined up looking for jobs here in Northern Virginia.
The other big news today, and it's still officially confirmed. Is the Tony Snow thing official now? It is, because we had the Scott McClellan piece about this morning. So that's officially, so he's in there as of when? Tomorrow or?
You know, it's not clear. He said maybe sometime around May 8th, something like that. So it's going to be another couple of weeks. He's not going to do the briefings right away. Going to have Scott McClellan there to help him. But within the next 2 or 3 weeks, we will have a new White House press secretary.
Here's the thing. Is that Tony Snow likes to put up a good front like he's all man and knows what he's talking about. But I think if you guys leaned on him hard enough, I think you could make him cry. I think that, really, I do. I think you could make him tuck his...
Like a dare.
I'm not telling you to do that because that would be wrong, and I realize that we are all broadcast professionals here. All I'm saying is...
You want us to take the heat. You want us to do the dirty work.
Well, look...
You want us to take the heat.
Well, that kind of is, that is the Emerson method. Look, I got, here's the thing. Don't tell anybody this. So I got this, we have this bet, this standing dare going with Jim Rupp in Los Angeles where if he can get Robert Blake to either use profanity or punch him on mic, I'm going to send him a case of Guinness. So you think about what your preferred beverage might be. All I'm saying is one of you guys can sort of provoke Tony Snow into snapping or throwing something. There might be a little something in it for you.
All right, we'll work on that.
All right, thank you. Lisa Goddard, CNN radio correspondent in Washington, D.C. Thank you, Lisa.
I think Jim Cramer would have been the better choice.
To be the wife?
Yeah.
That's it. You could go work for All Comedy Radio with that kind of creativity. That actually is a pretty funny idea.
I think so.
Just a whole lot of, and he would just be burning things and then setting things on fire and throwing huge chunks of metal at the audience. And I have already answered that question. Iraq. I have moved Iraq from a don't invade to maybe invade and occupy. I can't really do Jim Cramer. It's a whole lot of shouting and it's a lot of adenoidal compression with that guy. You may be, if you don't know Jim Cramer, he does air on this very fine radio station between 11 a.m. and noon every day. Jim Cramer's Real Money. He's also on CNBC, and they parodied him on Arrested Development pretty frequently. He was always that guy that was like, I've moved the blue stock too. Don't sell. That guy. And here's Tim Riley.
I wish we had some visuals to go along with this next story.
Oh, God.
The red-faced man.
Oh, no, I got visual. Baby, look. What do you think you're doing the show with? Do I not prep? Are we not men? Yeah. No, we are Devo. Do I not, something, blah, blah, blah. I got your visuals.
Let's go to the visuals, shall we?
Okay, that didn't really work on the radio, but you read the story and, it's just such a disaster. All right, so let me go to, okay, everybody go to rickemerson.com.
Right now.
We can, as they say, fark the site. Here's, go to rickemerson.com. Go to Mugshot Madness. Technically, only one of these is a mugshot, but you know, what are you going to do? The alliteration doesn't really work if you say sketch profile madness. So why don't you read this story first, Tim?
Okay.
This is for the police sketch, which leers disturbingly out from rickemerson.com.
You didn't put up his tattoo. That's the creepier part.
Oh, I didn't. What is that tattoo?
At first, I thought that was something else.
Yeah.
Like the eye
from Lord of the Rings?
Yes, which looks rather... What is it when something doesn't look phallic, but it looks, it echoes the female, genitals.
It looks like
what your science teacher would call a vagina. You know what I'm saying?
We all knew what you were talking about. You didn't need to say it.
It's a sideways eye. If you take the CBS symbol and turn it sideways.
Hey, look at that. It is sort of a squinting eye, turned. The other way.
No, it's really just a...
Like the grill of the Etzel.
You are saying it is a vagina.
It's... Yes.
Okay.
Well, it looks like
the eye from Lord of the Rings. That's what it looks like.
We'll have to find...
Maybe it is the eye of Sauron. Maybe.
Well, we'll have to find out which tattoo shop offered this particular tattoo.
Okay. I'm sure they want to be associated with a guy who raped somebody. Did you tattoo the raping guy? Yes, we did. Moving on, here's the story. Go to rickemerson.com. This is the story that accompanies the pencil sketch of the dude.
It looks like a cross between a baked potato and Herman Munster.
The tattoo or the man's face?
The man's face.
And those teeth are nothing to write home either. Those are no walk in the park.
That's true, too.
And that haircut.
Apparently, I know. Oh, wow.
He does have pretty eyes, though.
Eyes.
Yeah.
He does, doesn't he?
His eyes. He does have pretty Matt Peterson eyes.
Well, he's a rapist.
Not Matt Peterson.
No, this fellow, the sketch of this man.
<Where's> the pretty eyes.
Matt Peterson doesn't rape anybody.
The pretty-eyed rapist.
Be clear about that right now. Let's see if we can give him a nickname.
Okay.
Let's read the story now, and I'm going to be quiet.
He looks like he's covered with flies.
He really does. You're right. It's like there's a cloud of gnats circling his face. That's fantastic. Or just like he held still for a while and he just went at him with a pickaxe.
Well, this happened in Newburgh, so he shouldn't be too hard to find. He's 19. He attacked a 19-year-old girl on South Everest Road, just outside the apartment complex. He just parked her... Oh, the victim had just parked her car. But the man walked up to her and pushed her into her car before assaulting her. Investigators call it a predatory attack and say it's possible to keep searching for more victims. So here's the sketch. Everyone take a good look. Somebody must see a guy that looks like this somewhere.
So have you... If you see a fifth-grade sketch of Beavis and or Butthead walking around, mm-hmm. I mean, God, you can't, I mean... It's
like he's wearing Austin Powers teeth.
It really is. I mean...
Maybe he's British.
I'm just... He's horrid is what he is.
It just looks...
How could you
fake.
Not recognize this fellow?
Well, the hair is so bad, and there's like freckles.
Maybe he woke up
late. I think he's got a severe overbite, too. He does look like a sort of, where can I get some gas? He does look like that. Can I get work for a day? That kind of a guy, like he's waiting for the truck to pick him up. I can't wait till they arrest this guy, A, because he's clearly a bad guy who needs to go to a federal, insert phrase here, prison. And B, because I got to see the real mugshot and how much it looks like this.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't fathom a real human being who looks like this.
He's probably ripping off somebody in a trailer park right now.
Probably.
You've got to put up a picture of the tattoo.
The tattoo's unnerving, especially now because you think it looks like a whatever fiend.
Like the eye from Lord of the Rings.
Well, we've got a lot of a sort of a linguists and etymologists and so forth in the audience. If somebody knows what the female version of a phallic symbol is, I should know, I guess, but I don't. Let's see. Let me see if somebody's told me. Just because it bugs me not knowing the proper term for it. Wait. I know that guy in the mugshot. Oh, God. Please. Oh. Please let this be... all right. Anyway, okay, but...
Well, let's hope on.
Let's do the...
Then we have the red-faced man.
Let's do the second one. This is visual aid number one, by the way. So that same blog entry, mm-hmm. right below the police sketch... Click on visual aid number one for
this
next story.
We had this on Coin this morning, and I couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, this is going to be on the show.
Well, a young man with a red face was arrested this week.
And when we say red face, we don't mean he was blushing or he was somehow...
He painted a red face on himself.
He
had the face in the first place.
He's Darth Maul. Mm-hmm. Or some bad, insane clown posse version of Darth Maul.
How could you miss this fellow? Well, he allegedly pointed a gun at a group of students at... Conestoga Middle School in Beaverton.
That's hard to believe.
Parents waiting for their children Monday afternoon at the Beaverton school called police after they saw 20-year-old Dustin Williams, who's in this picture.
What is a 20-year-old doing in grade school?
I don't know.
How dumb can you be?
What's he doing running around with face paint on?
Seriously, get fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son. Get a job.
Maybe belongs to a theater group. He walked up to a group of students in a parking lot.
I'd say that's a certainty, actually. Yeah. Sir, your guild called. They need you back because the dwarves are storming the castle gate.
Mm-hmm. Well, they said he pulled a black handgun from the back of his pants, showed it to a group, and pressed it into a student's stomach. Another witness said he was working the slide back and forth, pointing at the school, and pulled the trigger.
But it was a fake gun, wasn't it?
Apparently. So he eventually put the gun back into his pants and rode away on a skateboard.
Of course he did. That's fantastic. Not fantastic that he did it, but come on. All the elements are in place there. If you're not able to guess this is a computer, the mugshot of... Okay, first of all, the police sketch of the last guy is hideous. This is a mugshot.
Uh-huh.
Where do they find it? Does it say? I bet I'm...
Let's see here.
You can't find it. Like, 10 years ago, you would have found this guy at a video game arcade. Where do you find this guy now?
It doesn't say how they arrested him.
Where does this guy hang out when he's not menacing people and riding a skateboard, Sarah? You're in touch with the youth culture of today, sort of.
Not with that culture.
Say, there are no more arcades for this guy to be at. They don't hang out at bowling alleys anymore.
They hang out at Denny's and chain smoke and drink coffee.
But not during the day. That's only at night. Well, whatever. They found him somewhere.
Well, anyway, he was arrested with a sheath knife and a Glock replica soft air gun, which fires BB-like objects. He allegedly told investigators he was just showing it off to friends. He's charged with disorderly conduct.
Okay. So there you go. So that's disturbing. There you go, the youth of today and out doing what they do. You are, by the way, completely right that he does belong to a theater group somewhere.
He does.
Okay. Here's Tim Riley.
Things just get worse here. Even movie stars are misbehaving now.
Oh, God. Is this the Kevin Costner story?
The long-awaited Kevin Costner story.
All right.
Well, Kevin Costner has been revealed as the celebrity accused of performing a sexual act while having a massage at a prestigious hotel in Scotland.
You know, if you pay $20, they'll do that for you with the massage. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do it yourself. I don't know how cheap you could be.
This after a tribunal ruled there that there was not a strong enough reason to keep his name suppressed. The star is accused of taking off his towel during a massage at Old Course House in St. Andrew's Fife in 2004, exposing himself and then performing a lewd sexual act.
So let me understand this. So he goes to get the massage.
Uh-huh.
The woman's giving him, is this during the massage? Yes, well, I guess we'll find out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The 51-year-old actor had been on his honeymoon with his new wife when he went for a massage.
Welcome to your new life of connubial bliss.
Mm-hmm. The 34-year-old spa worker giving the massage claimed she had been unfairly dismissed after she made a complaint to management about this behavior. But just before her tribunal hearing was due to start today, the woman who could not be named settled an out-of-court settlement for an undisclosed sum. Last month, the Scottish masseuse told the tribunal in Dundee that she was mortified when Costa removed his massage towel before engaging in a sexual act. It was disgusting. Even though he was a Hollywood superstar, I couldn't believe he thought he could get away with something like that. Well, he did for a while. Kevin Costner abused me, and I consider that a criminal act. Well, I was giving his wife a massage afterwards. I wanted to tell her everything.
That's just wrong. And so we were all thinking, who did you think it was? You heard it was Michael Douglas?
Yeah.
Yeah, see him?
Well, no, I'd heard it was Kevin Costner. Well, yeah, it was basically assumed it was Kevin Costner, but other people thought it was
Michael Douglas. Well, see, why was it assumed it was Kevin Costner?
Because I guess he was staying there during the time.
Oh, I see. Okay, so it's not like he's known to be a serial self-pleasurer during massages or something.
Oh, but why would he do that?
So listen to the Scott McClellan-like spin. This is from Costner's publicist, Paul Block. Speaking in Los Angeles, Mr. Block says, this is a dispute between an ex-employee in the hotel and never about Kevin Costner.
Uh-huh. Okay. Except it involves his penis. And that's the only extent to which it involves Kevin Costner. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll write it, whatever you say. I don't understand. Really, if you're Kevin Costner, with all your fame and your, I mean, look, his career has cooled off a bit, as they say. When is the last time Kevin Costner was in a film? He was in, what's it, that Jennifer Aniston film, Rumor Has It, or no, was it Rumor Has
was
It?
Was he?
What was the one that was like the Mrs. Robinson? Your mom is Mrs. Robinson. Wasn't that Kevin Costner? Wasn't he in that?
I don't remember.
I
don't think anyone saw that.
Which is too bad because I was excited for it for like a year and a half. And the marketing campaign made me entirely, it just dissipated all my enthusiasm. It just went away. I think he was in that. Well, the point is, he's Kevin Costner and he's famous. Nope. More famous than me anyway. And when he has cash, what kind of a... kind of a weak-ass celebrity are you? You have to go get a massage, and then you have to engage in self...
Well, now that his career's gone cold, what do you expect him to do?
I guess it is true. Rick, regarding visual aid number one, obviously this child is from a single-parent household. If you were my kid, his ass would have been beaten when he put on the mascara. Mike in Portland, that's true. And speaking of which, speaking of kids putting on mascara and behaving in an dropping things all over the floor... behaving in an unmanly fashion. Is it true, and I don't really know the answer to this because I don't have chillins and don't plan to. If somebody told me that it's now fashionable and in vogue for young men to be wearing pink shirts. Is that true? Sarah, have you seen the guys? Apparently the kids now.
I saw one of our engineers wearing one.
Wear pink shirts?
Yeah, because...
Yeah, guys can wear pink shirts.
One of the office people here in the office, a fellow employee, was saying that she was taking her 10-year-old son shopping and he wanted to pick up pink shirts. And she forbade him. She forbade him with no son of mine will wear a pink shirt.
No, my roommate, who all my friends think is hot.
Is that Manuel?
No, Ben.
Oh, Ben, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
He has a couple pink shirts. And he looks normal.
Oh, I'm what? Sorry. I just read that. No, hold on. Look away. Do you want to hear this?
Yes.
This is about the mugshot. Not the Darth Maul kid, but the one covered in flies. the Beavis raper.
Uh-huh.
This guy says, I saw that story of the Beavis raper on the news. They said those were meth scabs.
Oh!
On his face. I hear a new band name. Ladies and gentlemen,
we're
the meth scabs. Okay. By the way, yes, Kevin Costner was in Rumor Had It, a movie that no one saw. Okay, here's Tim Ryan.
That must have been from last year, like the rest of the movies that nobody saw.
Just throw it on the pile. Here's Tim Riley in the city desk.
Time for the Darwin Watch.
I have a feeling some bad stuff is about to go down.
Don't!
Here's your Darwin Watch.
I need all my cash.
For Wednesday.
Don't! My parents won't let me use scissors. Don't!
dust.
Don't.
Another one bites the dust. And another one gone. And another one gone. Another one bites the dust. Hey.
Da-da-dun-dun-dun.
Ow! My heart just stopped. Ah, there it goes.
This comes to us from Western Nevada County, California. A Grass Valley man is dead after accidentally shooting himself with a handgun during what appeared to be a game similar to Russian roulette.
How is a game similar to Russia? That seems like a binary proposition. It either is or it is not.
A Grass Valley police captain, Dave Remard, said the man died at the scene of the shooting at 11 p.m. Saturday at his apartment in Grass Valley. The shooting is classified as accidental. Two men were playing a game with a handgun. The men had been drinking heavily and smoking pot when a friend... But he pulled the trigger of a large caliber handgun.
See, here's the thing. Look, I'm not opposed to drug legalization. Anybody wants to inject, smoke, insert, whatever drug, I don't care. Go ahead. Doesn't matter to me. I mean, it should all be legal. But let us please, for the name of all that is sacred, quit spreading this fiction that pot doesn't make you stupid. Clearly it does. Clearly that's the point, right? That's the advantage. That's the whole upshot of it. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Everybody needs to turn their brain off now and again. Everybody needs to quit dwelling or obsessing. Everybody needs to relax. Everybody needs to do whatever. Some people use red wine. Some people hit themselves in the head with a hammer.
Others
some people
watch sitcoms.
Others watch sitcoms.
Same thing.
Some listen to uninteresting, bland adult contemporary radio. Some people smoke pot. It makes you dumb. That's the whole point of it. Quit saying that it... Clearly, that's why this happened. I mean, I guess if they'd smoked enough, they wouldn't be motivated enough to lift the gun, but I guess they were not at that point. By the way, if you're living in a place called Grass Valley, that could be the source of your problems right there, because it's probably not a whole lot to do in a place called Grass Valley. Just call it a hunch.
Police did not specify what game the men were playing. Couldn't have been Monopoly. Investigators are trying to determine how many rounds were in the gun during the shooting. An autopsy is scheduled for later today.
No. One loaded, five empty. One loaded, five empty. How many Look, how many games are there to play with a loaded handgun? This is not one of those rhetorical questions. I really want to know. What do they say? It was a game similar to Russian roulette?
Yes, similar to Russian roulette.
Okay, really, seriously, if there's a game you can play with a loaded handgun, first of all, I'm not telling you to play the game. It would be wrong for you to do so. Please do not play the game. If you do, don't use the word CBS radio anywhere. Just don't. But if there are other games you can play with a loaded handgun, I'd like to know, because again, it bugs me not to know things. So, you know, you clue us in on that if you really, not even finished. I haven't even given up the phone number. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. I'm just curious more than anything else. We've all seen Christopher Walken and the Deer Hunter. I'm just wondering what else there really is. Coming up later on today, by the way, I should note this. Byron Beck from Willamette Week is going to be here. We'll talk about the candidates gone wild. We've got this geek test we're going to do. I got this completely inaccurate road rage story, by the way. We'll do some shout-outs. Let's see. And we got to try to construct this horrible sandwich for the intern. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Well, Cindy Margolis, known as the most downloaded woman on the Internet, is following up on her win on Celebrity Cooking Showdown with a career first posing nude for Playboy magazine.
What, is she like 70 now?
She has agreed to pose with the magazine when they called her on her 40th.
Oh, all right, okay.
Well, it's on the way to that.
She looks a little weathered. Cindy Margolis, I mean, she's a beautiful woman.
Yes.
You know, but I mean, I don't know. She's aging in, like, metrically or something.
Mm-hmm. Thank goodness we're desperate housewives. You're not dead just because you're married and have children, the actress and model said during a telephone interview. After turning down offers to pose with the magazine in the past, Margolis said she accepted this time because she felt posing nude at the age of 40 is empowering. Uh-huh. In the past, it would have been for a gratuitous reason.
Now it's basically just for the money. Yes. The Cindy Margolis, because that's her whole thing, is she's the record setting. She's in the Guinness Book of World Records, like most down one loaded woman or whatever. She's never done anything nude. That's like the big carrot on the stick here, is that she's never posed nude. And like, look, I'm not a she's still very beautiful. She, you know, as the kids say, she's still hittable and all that. But It does beg the... Well, never mind. I'm not even going to dwell on it. It's 503-733-2970. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hi, this is J.D.
Hi, J.D. How are you today?
Pretty good.
Are you walking around in a black trench coat with Winona Ryder? Never mind. Dumb joke. Skip it. Have you got a handgun game to play?
No, I just wanted to make a comment on the Darwin watch.
Oh, okay.
A few years ago in the Darwin Awards, he did the same thing.
Uh-huh.
Except he used a semi-automatic instead of a revolver.
That's fantastic. Really? Is that a that actually happened somewhere?
Yeah, you can check that on the website.
Oh, that's good times. Yeah, there is like a whole book out there, actually. There's a book called The Darwin Awards, I think, where they, that website, they publish it like once a year or something of people who've killed themselves in a stupid fashion.
Yeah, they got like three or four of them now.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you, J.D.
Yep.
All right, there you go. That's J.D. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Friends and family said goodbye to a Vancouver teen who died after being stabbed at a McDonald's last week.
All right, let's talk about this for a second. This is this Anna girl.
Yeah, 17
right?
years old.
All right, Sarah, I want you to be my guide here to make sure that I am appropriately tasteful and respectful.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because I never really know. I don't really know sometimes. I'm a poor judge of my own commentary at various times of my life. This is the girl... And we'll read the story here in a second. Mm-hmm. This is the girl, and I hate to have to do this, but you've seen her on MySpace, kids. It is that 6 degrees of, except on MySpace, not even 6 degrees, like 2 degrees of separation, where everybody knows everybody who knows everybody who knows everybody who knows everybody. And then some. Yes. I've seen more posts and bulletins or whatever for this girl scroll by in the last week. I didn't even know who she was until this morning when I read this article. I had no idea she was the girl stabbed at that McDonald's. One of our listeners witnessed that, by the way. He was on his way to the listener party and decided to stop in for a McRib or something. And he chose the wrong McDonald's on the wrong night. And in his words, he lost his appetite. So there were two separate things in my head. There was this McDonald's stabbing in Vancouver. There was this Anna girl on MySpace. And MySpace has become the catch-all place to just post anything, whatever. You know, wedding announcements, party invites, congratulations, anniversary wishes, and then, hey, my pal just died. Here's a little shout out. Rest in peace. Godspeed. Whatever. So there have been all of these bulletins on MySpace scrolling by for the last couple days addressed to this Anna girl. You know, not addressed her because she's dead, but about her. And it's a whole lot of like, Anna, this is for you, and we'll never forget you, and here's a picture of us. Whatever. Here's a picture of us on Splash Mountain. Huzzah. Rest in peace. So, I didn't know until this morning she was the girl stabbed to death at McDonald's, right?
Right.
Okay, so why don't you read the story, and then Sarah and I will weigh in with what must be observed.
Well, the funeral of Anna was held yesterday at Evergreen Memorial Garden Funeral Chapel in Vancouver. On Monday, hundreds paid their respects to 17-year-old Anna at a memorial service at the Church of Truth in Vancouver. Friends and family remembered by sharing stories about her life and how she touched them in her own way. She died Thursday when police called a random act of violence while working at McDonald's. It would have been her 18th birthday. The man accused of stabbing her, David Sullivan, is now in the state mental hospital. Friends have set up fundraisers to help the family pay for funeral costs. McDonald's on Northeast Andreessen will donate every dollar rang up on the register this Thursday to the family. A trust fund has been set up through First Independent Bank for the public to make donations to the family. And the fund name is the Memorial Fund for Anna.
All right. So, okay, and you know, obviously, he's in prison or something? They've arrested him?
Yeah.
He's been put in the booby hatch? Mm-hmm. All right. So, clearly, it's, you know, a bad scene. Was she 18, something like that?
17.
She'll be 18 today.
She was, okay, so today's her birthday. So that's all very sad. And I don't mean that in a flip way. I mean, it's a bad scene. That was a bad way to go, and, you know, obviously, it's terrible for the family and everything. It really, though, is there is this ancillary issue, though, of the MySpace phenomenon, and all these kids were posting. It's like...
It's pretty freaky, actually, to see all these people posting things to someone who's dead.
Well, okay,
If you compare it to the public grieving thing where people put up things on the highway...
Totally. Yeah. Well, you know what it is? You know, this is the new teddy bears on a fence.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what this is. And again, I know it sounds mean, and I'm not trying to be mean.
The profile's actually still open.
That's the thing. It's okay, so let's...
Yeah, I have it right here.
So let's talk about this for a second, because it is just weird. And again, I'm not trying to be crass or whatever. It's just an interesting social phenomenon. It used to be, who is it, Ashley Miranda?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
The dead girls, you know.
And then the guy who stabbed his girlfriend and, like, her parents.
Yeah, and it was a whole lot of, like, let's go by and stick, like a Care Bear on a fence somewhere because it'll make us feel better. And whatever. And it's just all just weird and strange.
The most unnerving ones are right before it happens. Like, because you say the last one, like, hey, I'll see you tonight.
Totally,
you
know? The post.
And then the next one is like, I can't believe you're gone. It's like,
totally.
Gosh.
It's
like,
so creepy.
That
you
time.
See the last post of, like, mm-hmm. the, so, oh, God. Can I just tell you this? Okay, I don't want to start creeping people out. This is like the Halloween show where we're telling ghost stories.
Yeah.
Ellie Glidey.
Oh, hi. By the way, you're listening to KCMD AM Portland. Proud part of the CBS Radio family. This is Johnson 970 AM, all comedy radio. It's a Rick Emerson show. And we're over time, so we're just going to go with it.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Okay. Flag. Remember where we are?
Mm-hmm.
Talking about Anna. So, I saw this one, and it was real. I saw this one message board. So messed up. It was the most effed up thing ever. Where a girl had been online, and she wasn't in a chat room. Like, it wasn't a real-time chat room. It was like, she was doing, for some reason, she was actually sort of chatting on a message board. Like, she would post something to a message board, and then the guy would post something back, and then she would, I don't know why she wasn't using, like, an instant messenger, like, something real time, but she was actually having this on, this back-and-forth conversation with some people on a message board all night. And I guess maybe that's why, because there were more than two people in the conversation. Mm-hmm. So it's her and, like, three people, and they're, like, messaging, they're putting messages to each other back and forth on this message board all night. It's so creepy. It's the creepiest thing ever. You'll never sleep again after I tell you this. It's completely real. There's some girl in Japan, which makes it even creepier, because then you picture, like, a baby stuck to the ceiling, like, like meowing. You picture a baby with black eyes going, you know, but,
I still have nightmares about that thing.
Okay, but so she's on the message board, and then there's a hook on the door handle. No, there, she's on the message board, and she actually posts this message that's like, hey, I'll be right back. I think I hear something downstairs. And it's sort of like a guy with a chainsaw, you know, and she thinks it's like the cat or something. She's like, I think I hear, you know, something knocking on the door downstairs. I'm going to go check it out. Next thing, dead. Dead, like cut into pieces, put in a bag. And then it's like all the next posts are like, hey, you there? Hey, where? I guess you fell asleep. And like she's totally being chainsawed somewhere.
Oh,
and it's like the worst. I read, and of course, like a voyeuristic a-hole, I got to see this. And I read the message board, and it's like, you know, like I totally get goosebumps now even thinking about it. It was so freaky. Because, you know, because it's like, BRB, you know, LOL, guy, you know, cat downstairs. And then, you know, but downstairs it's like a guy with a hockey mask.
Oh.
You know, so creepy. Okay, so this Anna girl. So, yeah, you go to her MySpace page, and I'm like you. I'm amazed it's still up. Is it on? I mean, I don't want to be morbid.
Well, they had her last comment yesterday, but now it's been pushed down.
I don't want to be morbid, but, I mean, we should put the link up so people can see it. Because it is kind of interesting, and it is a local phenomenon. Are you going to put it on? Where do you want to put it?
I'll put it on my website.
Okay, we'll put it at sarahxdillon.com. Don't go there now. Don't crash it. We got to update it. Yeah, I don't mean to be morbid and weird about it, but it is, again, it's just strange. It is all part of the unfolding story of how Americans communicate with each other. So we'll post the link. But, yeah, but so now all the listings are like, rest in peace, sorry you're dead, whatever. And it's just, like, creepy beyond words. Here's the other thing, though. The other side of this is that... you know, kids keep these MySpace accounts, and they keep them private from their parents, and they don't tell their parents about them, and they're like diaries, right? Like, kids have, your kid, I don't care who you are, your kid has like 50 MySpace accounts you don't know about. And they post all kinds of weird, creepy, sexual, strange things on there that, like, you would be horrified by. Sometimes under their own name, sometimes not. And then when they, you know, God forbid something happens, even if it's not a kid, whatever, when somebody dies, all of their MySpace things, everything is like locked in time because you probably don't have the password. Especially if it's a teenager, they're clearing out the account so you can't activate any of it. You can't access it. You'll never guess the password because teenagers are smarter than you and I are. So the password isn't going to be their birthday. Okay. The password's not going to be their dog's name. And so, you know, it's just going to be locked out there forever. And he's just going to be sitting there. And her profile, again, I don't mean to be sound weird about it, but doesn't her profile have a bunch of, like, what must be called sort of sexy pictures? I mean, it's, am I wrong in calling them that?
No, you're not. Because we were looking at it yesterday, and her quote is...
And doesn't it say, like, I like big black men?
Her quote is, give me a smooth-talking black boy.
Yeah, I mean... It's just an odd thing to once choose your pictures and your MySpace quote carefully, because if you get hit by a bus, that's going to be up there for the rest of your life. And that'll be their last image of you. Oh, yeah, the hot girl that likes black men.
Okay, I have
it. It's like a high school yearbook type of thing.
It really is, you know, where you're writing like, hey, remember that time we smoked meth? You know, it's like you don't want to write that. Yeah, so now, so everybody who goes to this MySpace, everybody in Portland has already seen it. It's just going to be, oh, yeah, hot goth girl who wants a black man. It, which is, you know, which is fine. Nothing wrong with any of that, but it is a little strange.
I was just reading this from one of her friends. It says, hey, girl, happy birthday. I hope your birthday's good in heaven. I'll see you later today.
Hell does that mean? Oh, you're kidding me. Is that on there right now?
Yeah.
Oh, I feel all oogie.
Well, now I have to click on my
Jesus
girl.
God. Look, we have to click on her profile. We have to break.
Yeah.
Okay, I swear to God, I'm not doing this to be like a crass guarantees, but... Okay, let's break, and we'll come back. This is all fascinating. Now we have to talk about this. All right, so stay there. We'll be back after this.
Katie loves Sally.
So it claims. Don't go anywhere. So Rick Emerson Show, we're live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. So we will talk about this. Oh, now I'm all weirded out. Oh, and now I just keep seeing the kid with the black eyes on the roof of the house.
Oh. Ah.
This is the part where I have to go jump off the balcony. You stay there. Sir Rick Emerson Show. Back after this on Johnson 970. Part of the CBS Radio family. It's Korn. Cool, but you got to realize that you're acting like a fool.